Welcome to Label Sessions Presents, the podcast where we talk to the most interesting people about all the things you need to know over the next 100 days, from innovation to business design, tech, and culture. I'm Fazaniso, and today we're joined by two brand new additions to the Label Sessions expert roster, as well as Josh Nixon from the Label Sessions team. Hello and welcome, everyone.
Hi.
A big hello to Sophie Hollinger. Sophie is the artist who's translating math, music, and emotion into motion. Sophie makes the complex feel intuitive, turning abstract theories and raw emotion into vivid moving art. Whether it's NASA or indie games, she brings curiosity, craft, and a touch of chaos to every frame. Welcome, Sophie.
Thank you.
Also, a big welcome to Michal Zizel, the space architect turning futurism into action. Michal helps organizations design for bold, believable futures on Earth and beyond. Known for transforming abstract vision into pragmatic systems, she's who you call when you need structure, not just science fiction. Welcome, Michal.
Hi, thank you.
So as we're stepping into space 4.0, where space is no longer just like rockets and satellites, but it's about new economies, data infrastructure, and innovation ecosystems. If growing in orbit becomes as strategic as growth in markets, what does this mean in how we start innovating on Earth? Should brands be thinking about space as the next frontier of innovation? And what would it take to make that leap real today? Michal, this is perfect for you.
Yeah. Well, so just let's like space 4.0. Right now, the past 20 years, it's been kind of space 3.0. 3.0 is when humans were living, started to live in orbit on the International Space Station. Before that, 2.0 was the space race and the moon landing. And 1.0 was just at the beginning of exploration, space exploration. So 4.0, it means that it's now a game of not just countries and agencies, but also of commercial and private companies. And yes, it's definitely, space is making an impact on our lives every single day without us even being aware, with anything from GPS to all kinds of things. A lot of things that we use were actually invented for astronauts. But in terms of the economy and the market, and we see health organizations, pharma, sending experiments to space, because it's easier sometimes to develop things in space in the microgravity or zero gravity conditions rather than on Earth. For example, 3D printing of organs. It is hard to print a human heart, because it kind of collapses on itself on Earth. But in space, because of the microgravity conditions, it is not collapsing. So a scaled down version of a heart has been successfully printed in space in the past, I think, year, maybe two. And now a larger scale will be explored. So a lot of things are already happening, even on IVF in space and like reproduction in space. Other things as well, super interesting, branding and marketing in space. Brands are sending products to space, and that completely opens up new markets for them on Earth, because kind of all eyes are on space. When things are happening there, it's kind of bigger than a billboard in Times Square. So it's definitely something that is already here. The cost of launch has dropped dramatically since SpaceX, Elon Musk's SpaceX, because he has reusable rockets. So the cost per launch dropped dramatically, like 90%. So it's easier to go to space as a private company if you want to send an experiment, but also space tourists are starting to go to space. I have a few friends who've been to space, which is pretty cool. It's still not that cheap, but it's getting cheaper by the year, and more accessible. So it's definitely something that is going to be a big influence on everything that we see around us in the next years. And stop, because I can talk so much about it.
It's absolutely fascinating. I think we've all kind of seen also the impact of what it can do. I mean, Elon Musk sending the Tesla up and Katy Perry and all of these, like, we just have spaces, but just been in the news. And more sort of government looking at alternatives to things like Starlink and those sort of things. So, like, it's just been like, it's just part of the roadmap now to, like, hey, what about the stuff above me? that's and how do I kind of control that bit as well? Sophie, how does sort of, you know, that play into the design side of things when you're sort of thinking about this as the next step in your brand or your plan?
Yeah, futuristic design has, like, influenced pop culture things before and, like, sci-fi, and it's really interesting now things being influenced by sci-fi as inspiration. A lot of the names for things being influenced by names from science fiction. I'm, like, a huge science fiction person, like, reading old sci-fi and all that, but now there's more of a chance to actually have that data and seeing, okay, how, now that we're so close to being there, how, like, what are we actually going to need? What products are we going to need? What things are we going to, what are we going to have to wear in space, as just, like, if civilians are in space, just walking around in different environments, what are we going to need? What kind of, you know, things to hold water? Just all, I mean, Mahal, you know a lot more about that in terms of those specifics than I do, but then there is, like, a schism that's going to happen increasingly between life on Earth and who stays on Earth. Like the Katy Perry, her going to space brought some backlash and conversation of, okay, there's already a huge gap on Earth. And if those same people that cause the gap are leading the space frontier, what is life going to be like here? And how do we use that technology in the best way for just the people that are most disadvantaged already? And, like, how do we, like, restore the planet that we still have left? And so there's, like, two worlds that are really like, kind of two markets, two environments, two, like, whole sets of problems to address that are in contrast to each other, as opposed to, well, of course we're all on Earth except for a few people, and then how are we tackle those problems? But now there's a lot to work with in terms of things to think about and innovate. Too.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to say something about the Katy Perry launch with Blue Origin. I think so much, it was in news so much, and I was so excited about that launch. It was the first time ever that six women, only women crew, went to space. First time ever. It was historic. I had two people who I know more on a personal level that went on that flight. Aisha Boy and Amanda, they're both rocket scientists. One of them, Aisha, is rocket scientist. Amanda is also, she's brilliant. She was supposed to become an astronaut. They went and did some science up there in the few minutes that they were in space. All six women had a lot of stuff plugged to them, and the data that they brought back is used for us to know how the female body works and operates in space, which there is a huge data gap of the male body versus the female body. Only last year, I think, there's been the 100th woman in space, as opposed to about 600 men so far. So that flight was historic on so many levels. And yes, you're right that the access is, or it's more open right now to people that have more access to funding. However, other people are going as well. People who are in academia, people who are winning competitions. I have another friend who won. She was part of the Inspiration 4 a few years back. She went with a flight with Jared Isaacman. He got four people, including himself. One of them was Haley. She's a nurse in St. Jude's Hospital, and she had cancer as a kid. So a lot of diverse people are going. People from different ages are going, which is incredible because it never happened before. Captain Kirk, he went to space. And Wally Funk, who was from the Mercury team, the Mercury 13, she was on a team of female astronauts in the 60s that were trained to go to space. And at the last minute, they were not allowed to go to space. And in her 80s, Jeff Bezos took her in the first flight with himself to space. So it's a lot of stuff that is happening that kind of is not coming out. The space industry is pretty bad with communications, and needs to do a better job to like do more of explaining of what has actually happened and the importance and significance of it. There is kind of, we can't deny that there is a difference of access between different types of people. However, it's changing and people are, even the people with the access are bringing others along with them. And it's really nice to see. So what you said about the media influencing or sci-fi influencing the industry, 100% you're correct. Personally, I'm trying not to see and not to read. Because it's influencing everybody and I'm seeing it and I'm like, hey, I'm trying to like stay clean slate and have friends that I constantly, maybe I can call you also and say, hey, what did this thing was ever in a book or in a movie? But it's definitely having a lot of impact and super, super interesting.
Absolutely agree with you in terms of just like, we're not seeing some of these stories like that, like, you know, with things like 3D printing hearts that we aren't able to do yet down here, but we are in you know, different gravity. And also the fact that they were doing a lot of these testing to see what it is like for women in space. Mm-hmm. And they've only just recently figured out that there's a difference in terms of how women experience VR. We're more likely to get motion sickness. And mm-hmm. so it's those sort of things that is not really shared. And actually, so you sort of, you go like, oh, yeah, they're going up to space. But in the meantime, there's actual real data that is helpful and being and is there and has been created, and they're not sharing it. So it's like, well, share the really interesting stuff, so we can know that it's not just a Katy Perry up in space with her her daisy, which unfortunately is what we all saw.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to do. I'm trying to go on as many stages as possible and talk about these things.
I love it. Yeah, it's really great again to hear your perspective on that, because like I'm gonna say 99 to almost 100% of the discourse that I had, at least, was entirely about the celebrity of it all. And all of the interest and everything you just discussed, like, is completely new to me, which is insane in its own regard, you know?
Maybe there's a solution there about where to have that news come out of, and like a certain place that people go, and like, this is what's happening. I mean, there's outlets that focus on good news, and there's research about how important that is for us just to like be more creative and be more kind and more hopeful, and the impact that has. But all of the amazing stuff that you're saying that they're learning and bringing back, it'd be great to have a place specifically created for people to go and
I mean, there that. Is, but it's kind of connected to the last question about Gen Alpha, because if you would go to NASA's website, which is like a maze of information, and it has a lot of information, but it's sometimes not easy to find, or Blue Origins, where that their company launched the flight with Katy Perry, you may be able to find those things. But what people are used to is getting the information to them via social media, and that and just some of those things have been amplified. So it's kind of connects to what we said before, that brands and companies and organizations, they have the responsibility to push also other types of information as well.
Well, they'll be getting it here on this podcast and this week, so at least they're getting it somewhere.